Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrapper screening baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love leap years. This is Doug Loves Leap Years, recording on Thursday, February 29th, 2024. Leap day, if you will. My guests today are a newbie and two old bees, one of whom is a current champion. They are Corey Ryan Forrester. Wouldn't that be funny if that was it? Just three people with one name. Joe Quazala and Caitlin Palufo. Hey, everybody.
Hey, hello.
What's up, Doug?
Hey, let's meet you all individually and alphabetically by first name. So that means first up is our first timer is Caitlin Palufo. Hey, Caitlin.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is exciting.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy Leap Year. Happy all of it. This is exciting.
It is. This is New Year and Leap Year both. I got so much to say when greeting people just for this one day.
It's a mouthful.
Great job on After Midnight a few nights ago. Did you enjoy doing that?
Oh, thank you. I had so much fun. I've never been on a show where they just want you to be a silly goose. And luckily, that's the only thing I know how to do well. So it was good.
It's so much fun, like doing so much ad-libbing, because it's like such a drag trying to clear material ahead of time. It's so much more fun to just say it, and then you find out if it got in or not, you know, when the show comes on.
Absolutely. It was so much better. I didn't have to worry about cursing because they were like, who cares? We'll bleep it out. I was like, oh, thank God. Because your girl's got a potty mouth. So it was exciting to have that weight lifted. But it was fun. It was so fun.
It was a super fun episode to watch. And I have friends at the show who said that they had a lot of material to choose from because, like, everybody was hilarious for, like, way longer than the runtime of the TV show. So
we kept everyone there for like an hour and a half. I felt bad.
But that's, you know, I mean, 90 minutes goes by pretty fast with that show, I think, especially when everybody's being so hilarious. What song was it that you all burst into at one point?
Oh, it was Oasis.
That's right.
Wonderwall. Yeah. There we go.
Don't Say Slow. Was not too familiar with it.
One of the whitest bands ever. Yeah, exactly.
They're so white, they're British.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for being here. And let's meet our other two competitors who have been on the show before, one of whom is an ongoing champ. It's Corey Ryan Forrester. Hey, Corey.
Hey, Doug. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I'm glad it's catching on. I hope you're saying it to everybody.
I have been, much to their chagrin.
Yeah, people probably really look at you sideways saying that shit in the South. Like, what is this guy? Some sort of, is he being sarcastic or what is going on here?
Yeah, I'm already looked at weird enough in my hometown, and that doesn't help. They're like, is he celebrating the Chinese New Year? I knew he was a communist.
Oh, right. The Chinese. He's gone lunar on us. He's a lunar loon in our town. So, LL, how many times have you won now in a row?
I want to say this is like five or six.
Oh my goodness, so many we can't even keep track.
I can't count because of where I'm from geographically, but I also have a bad memory. But Doug, I got to tell you, I have a feeling that this is the one. I'm going down today. I don't feel good about it.
You think this is the end?
I have said this every single week, but I truly feel it in my bones. There's no way I'm winning today.
Well, I have to say that I brought in, you know, what to me was an unknown quantity with Caitlin. Now after seeing how competitive you were, Caitlin, on After Midnight, I am feeling what Corey's talking about, that like you are going to be some competition today. And then yeah. I brought in Joe as somewhat of a ringer because he's been on the show before, did great. Let's just go ahead and introduce him. Since we're talking about him like he's not here, happy to welcome back to the show, Joe Quazala. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Doug. Thanks for having me.
Happy March.
Happy March Zero, I guess we would call it.
Yeah. We're getting right into it because that's when the episode comes out. Is March 1st is when people could start listening to it. And I'm trying to remember the stats. Like, what happened during your... I know you were at the Brea Improv
for a show. The cavernous Brea Improv, one of the largest comedy clubs in the world, it seemed like.
Yeah, and that's where Guy Branum came in late, I think.
That's correct. Yeah, Guy came in late. And, I, as your listeners know, Guy is a formidable opponent in the games. But I would like to say I put up quite a fight, and we were going back and forth on naming Nicole Kidman, Meryl Streep, and or Meg Ryan movies.
Wow, but you don't remember the loss at all. You've walked away from it, and you don't know the details.
I like to think that I won over the crowd.
I think you did. You won over me as well, and so I'm happy to have you back, and I think you will be some strong competition today. That was also the episode where Tom Takkar suddenly just broke down and was no longer like he had previously been on the show a bunch of times, but he never wiped out that hard. Like he really just lost his nerve or something. You and a guy, the combination, he couldn't handle it.
Yeah, I think he was pretty intimidated by me specifically. I'm going to go with that narrative.
Your hairy face and Guy's bald head were just too much for... Yeah. For poor Tom Takkar to handle. But of course, he's always welcome back. And thank you again to all three of you for joining me this afternoon. And before we do our regular segment called Recommendation Nation, I've got some standing business to take care of from the Corrections Department. Tilda Swinton was not in The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. Mm. Yeah, I snuck that one by everybody. We were playing Last Person Standing, and I floated that out there because, you know, Tilda Swinton is in many Wes Anderson movies, but I wasn't sure, but I just threw it out like I knew what I was talking about, and some listener complained, and hence we brought in the Corrections Department. You know, none of my guests need to comment on
this is none of my business.
I mean,
I was going to say,
Don't you hate when you go like on a radio show or a podcast and they talk on and on about stuff that has nothing to do with you and you're just kind of sitting there like, yeah, throw me the ball. I'm here to participate.
I was going to say that, like, it does feel like that Tilda Swinton was in spirit in that movie. Like, agreed. I would have totally believed it.
Right. Agreed. We got Blanchett.
The person that called me out on it went, you're thinking of Cate Blanchett. And it's like, no, I wasn't thinking of, I don't mistake those two actresses. I was saying Tilda Swinton because Tilda Swinton will just swoop in for one or two scenes in most Wes Anderson movies.
Dude, you can't mistake Tilda Swinton for somebody else. That's not, I don't think that's possible.
No, it's like the only person I can think of who like maybe looks a little bit like Tilda Swinton is Wes Anderson.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they're the only, yeah, analogous figures.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, so now let's do Recommendation Nation. That's where I ask each of my guests to recommend one movie, and since he's been on so frequently lately, I bet you Corey's already, this question is not a surprise. So let's have Corey go ahead and go first and just recommend a movie.
It's not a surprise to me, Doug. I've been thinking about it all day, but unfortunately, between the last episode and now, as I've told you, my watching habits are different because I have a child that I watch all day. So I haven't watched a new movie since then. So I would like to throw a little shine on this independent movie that my 1-year-old son has. He's really fallen in love with. I've been showing it to him the past week. We've been rewatching it. Not a lot of people have heard about it. The Dark Knight. He's a huge fan. It's become our comfort movie, one that I just throw on during the day when I'm tired of watching his bullshit. And he really enjoys it, man. A very an unknown, not talked about performance from the late, great Heath Ledger. It's a tremendous triumph in film. And I suggest everyone goes and sees it.
Your 1-year-old is going to grow up to be pretty sketchy, I think, because
dude, you have no idea. Like, we found out the other day, I was watching some movie. I can't remember because I keep asking everybody. I was like, hey, what's the age when they click on and they can start, like, when shit starts affecting them? Because I know, like, right now he's just seeing colors and stuff. But like the other day we were watching some movie and some dude was just murdering the shit out of a guy with a machete. And my son was laughing his ass off. And I know it was just like the action and the sound, but like it was his favorite thing. And he loves action movies where people are getting their ass whooped. So, yeah, you're probably right.
It's a very violent child. But thank you for opening our eyes to this unheralded gem. Which, like, is a movie that for me gets better and worse every time I see it. The things I like about it tend to get better, and the things that I don't like about it, tend to get worse.
Yeah, there's
one
a couple
of my
things.
Favorite, it's one of my favorite bits in the Lego Batman movie when the Joker just gets totally roasted about the whole two boats thing in Dark Knight.
Yeah. The thing that I noticed this particular go around was I was like, okay, Bruce, why are you doing the Batman voice when it's just you and Lucius Fox? Mm-hmm. Like, he knows, dude.
I love that one, yeah. He'll do it with Lucius, and he'll do it when he's just by himself. Because mm-hmm. there's that one scene where Catwoman
I gotta take a shit.
Suddenly disappears. Yeah, Catwoman disappears, and he goes, now I know what that feels like. Yeah. Like he's fucking Jim on The Office, and he knows he's
looking at the camera.
Filmed.
Yeah.
Shrugging.
So that the movie's got some silliness, and I was reminded also of the fact that Two-Face is in the hospital bed, and Joker comes in pretending to be a nurse, and he's got a mask over his mouth, but his eyes are still completely made up and silly looking, and he doesn't recognize him until he takes the mask off.
I think that's good in world building because they have to sell the fact that in that world, people can't recognize you if they can only see part of your face.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It is a problem in Gotham City. Yeah. Everyone has this weird vision.
Like nobody, like Bruce Wayne's closest friends wouldn't recognize his mouth. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, Clark Kent wanders in there. He's like, all I got to do is put on glasses?
Yeah, exactly.
This is wild. Okay, Caitlin. So The Dark Knight, probably still in the top 10 grossing movies of all time. it's a lot to go up against. So, but please recommend one movie.
Okay. Well, recently I rewatched a film, The Little Giants. Do we remember The Little Giants? I mean, I watched it. I really identified growing up with Becky O'Shea, the tomboy who wanted to play football, but then had to start her own team because she couldn't join the other football because she was a girl. All right. I rewatched it. And a lot of times these movies don't hold up because you're like, oh, God, they're going to be super racist or whatever. And it holds up. Yeah. It's great.
The greatest
it's funny,
play.
It's sweet. It's kind. The greatest play. Yes.
The annexation of Puerto Rico.
Yes. Rick Moranis.
Joe, do you know what they're talking
role?
About?
No. I at this point, I am. If you could see me, my eyes have rolled in the back of my head, and I'm just thinking about heaven.
Is that Tom Arnold? Is he in that?
No. It's Ed O'Neill.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm confusing it. There's like so many movies that have that sort of vibe to them, and that you know, the actor playing like the coach of a bunch of unruly's, and so Rick Moranis obviously would be the best reason to watch it.
Mm-hmm. He's great,
right? And yes. And I do love Ed O'Neill. So you're right. This might be worth a revisit. You've got me on the hook for this because, I don't remember liking it the first time around, but I was just a dumb kid.
Yeah. Well,
what did I know?
As a tomboy, it really resonated. And then I had to watch it I was doing a different podcast. So I rewatched it. And I was like, oh, no, it's going to be like the Ladybugs with what's his name?
Yeah, with Rodney Dangerfield.
Rodney Dangerfield, where it's like the most sexist, most racist film in the world. You're like, why did I ever like this? But then you watch The Little Giants and you're like, oh, this is pure joy. And it's got a great message. It's wonderful. I recommend it. Everybody should watch it. Everyone should watch it with their kids, too.
It's like one way or the other, if you're a famous comedy star, you're going to have to make a movie where, you know, it's you having to deal with a bunch of kids for some reason.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it's just a given with your kindergarten cops and your pacifiers and whatnot. Mm-hmm. as soon as somebody becomes famous, they're like, what kind of team could they coach?
Yeah, give them a whistle. Let's figure this out.
Yeah. Put a dog on the team.
And it's literally their best movie. Like, you know, Will Ferrell's kicking and screaming is pretty forgettable. Okay, so sorry, Will Ferrell. He listens, so now I feel bad. Joe... What do you think? What movie would you like to recommend?
You know, I recently felt like I got the honor and, you know, to see a movie in the theater that I didn't think was ever going to be in a theater because it had been released on Disney Plus, but it's the Pixar movie Turning Red, which, you know, Disney has been putting their old movies out in the theater kind of without fanfare. But I noticed that, and I had never seen it, and I was like, oh, this would be great to see this in a theater. And it was. I thought it was really funny, really fun, cute, sentimental. Turning Red. I'm into it.
Yeah, and strangely modern, too, because of the whole, I mean, I know boy bands have kind of evolved into a different thing these days than, like, you know, NSYNC and Backstreet Boys used to be. You know, now there's, like, 14 members of each boy band, but the hysteria that teenage girls have for any kind of pop idol is timeless, but also in this particular movie makes it feel more more current than most Disney fare.
Yeah, and all that stuff is really funny with the boy band and them losing their minds, and because it takes place in the early 2000s, so it's a bit of a period piece, and so that kind of aesthetic makes sense. Really, like, legitimately funny, not like funny for a kid's movie.
Yeah, I definitely wish I had seen it in a theater because I definitely had Disney Plus that shit, you know, when that happened. But I was into it. You know, it was kind of got that, you know, feel like it got kind of like a fanboy backlash for being too much about girls, you know. But
too bad. Really too
bad.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's a goddamn kids movie. I can't imagine how exhausting these fuckers' lives have to be You know what I mean? Like, yeah. God damn, bro.
Yeah, no, it is funny how upset they can be about it. Like, what's happening to Pixar? More inclusivity?
And they just prove the point that little girls definitely need a movie that's for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're helping the cause here.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to make. And hey, let's take it up a notch. Let's make something for girls that anybody who isn't a girl, either adults or men or boys, might also get to enjoy it.
Right.
You Absolutely. Know, because that's sort of what happened with Barbie.
I was about to say.
Men just got sort of forced to go and then went, oh, okay. You know, they either liked it or, you know, but anybody who hated it, I'm just like, well, why? You seem like you were hate watching.
Right. You don't make $1 billion if only 51% of people are going to like your shit.
Yeah, that's very true.
Oh, Corey, you 51%er.
That's true.
We got to, thanks for your recommendations. We got to take our first break, but we'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Hey, we're back. And the first game we're going to play today is a brand new one that I made up. And it's called A Likely Corey. I will say a title. You tell me if that's a movie that's got Corey Feldman in it, or Corey Haim, or neither. Caitlin will get to guess first. If Caitlin misses, then Corey gets a crack at it. And if Corey misses, then Joe will land in a nice spot. He'll get the gimme point. Whenever somebody gets a point, when the next person gets to go first. First person at 3 points wins. Did all of that make sense to you, Caitlin?
Yes.
You're up first.
Okay.
Tell me if this is Feldman, Haim. Were you a fan of those boys? Or, you know,
no.
Are you familiar with them?
I gotta say, I missed that by a few years, so I don't know much about them. So
yeah, they're just from the past to you.
Yes, they are boys from the past that probably have since done fentanyl and now do not. So that's what I know about them.
Right. Yeah. One of them kicked the drugs in time. The other one didn't. And so it's a sad story.
I regret making that joke. Okay.
I thought you were just going for it.
It wasn't accurate, Joe.
It was edgy. Extremely edgy.
It was unintentionally edgy. And yeah. I will think about it for the rest of this podcast.
There's been enough time. It's fine.
It wasn't fentanyl. So there's one thing. But it was Corey Haim is no longer with us. And this is also just going to maybe help you with the game. Knowing the difference between that Corey Haim is no longer with us. Corey Feldman is with us. This is just for Caitlin's, the only one that can guess on this, gets the first guess. Great. So, you know, it's one out of three. So, you know, it's I made a lot of things multiple choice in this show so that anybody can get something right. And especially anybody that's not familiar with the oeuvre of Corey Feldman and Corey Haim.
I don't think this could have started worse, but yes.
I'm glad you get a guess first. This is good. You can really, we'll see what you do with this. Which one or neither, as in a movie called The Ugly Bug Ball? The Ugly Bug Ball.
I'm going to say Feldman.
You're going Feldman is in The Ugly Bug Ball.
Yes.
Final answer.
Oh, God. Yes.
Incorrect. I'm so sorry. Corey.
Dang it.
Is that a hame or a neither?
I'm going to go neither, just knowing how your brain works. Probably wrong, but I've never heard of The Ugly Bug Ball. I'm just going to go with neither.
Okay, you locked in on that one?
Locked in.
That is correct.
Hey.
It is
great
neither.
Job.
Joe, were you thinking neither?
Yeah.
Okay, so the listeners may have caught on to this. The Ugly Bug Ball isn't even a movie. It's a song in a movie. It's a movie from Disney called Summer Magic. And at one point, for some reason, you know, the guy who was also the snowman in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, he sings...
Burl Ives.
He sings the... yeah, I should have known the guy in the South would know that. He sings... he sings The Ugly Bug Ball to some kids to cheer them up or something. And it's always, to me, just been, it's just such a funny title that I use it whenever I can. And so congratulations, Corey, for sussing that one out. Joe, you're up first.
All right.
On this next one.
Here we go.
Hame, Feldman, or neither, Meatballs 4.
Oh, Lord. Meatballs. Yeah. I didn't even know.
Who knew they went that deep?
I didn't know you could have that many meatballs. It seems
four chapters.
My goodness. Oh, wow. That's a lot of meatballs.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you think? Is it Feldman, Hame, or neither?
I will say a part of me is like, are you making up another movie?
That's what I thought.
Like, did they get to a honestly four? Not make a Meatballs 4? That would be devious. And I don't want to believe that you would be up to such trickery, especially with a franchise that we honor with our whole hearts. I'm going to say Hame.
You're going for Hame.
Yeah, why not?
I'll tell you why not, because it's wrong.
Okay.
Caitlin.
Yes.
Feldman or neither?
Feldman.
That is correct.
Yay!
You did it.
Brutal.
I did it.
I don't know how you did it, but you are on the board.
I know how she did it. She said the other Corey.
It could have been either, though. You're really onto something with me making up a Meatballs 4. I personally, I never saw Meatballs 4. I believe Corey Feldman is in Meatballs 2, which I did see and is a very dumb movie, but kind of fun because it's got Paul Rubens is in it as a character that's not Pee-wee, but might as well, you know, close enough. But yeah, Meatballs 4, I think Feldman like maybe cameos in that one or something just to, you know, just to legitimize it.
For the Meatball fans.
Because people don't remember anybody from that, you know, the first Meatballs except for Bill Murray. So he's the only real value there. I mean, if they made a Meatballs 5, got Bill Murray to participate, that could be the greatest thing ever. But
I'd see it.
You know, for now, I'm just going to be content with him putting on the Ghostbusters outfit again for no good reason. All right, Corey, you're up first in this next round.
Oh boy.
Feldman, Hame, or neither, an alleged movie called She's Too Tall.
Hame.
I love the pain in your answer.
Because I know it. I know it's fucking made up.
Hame is not correct. We come to Joe.
Comes to me. I'm going to say neither.
You're going neither?
Yeah.
throwing that point. Oh,
God damn.
Oh, my God. How on earth am I winning this game?
Because you just sat back and just did what you needed to do, which was nothing.
Oh, man. God, yeah. This is a bad. This is a bad sign. This means that bullies win.
Well, hold on. Caitlin still has to answer.
That's true.
Oh,
yeah. Don't recap.
What was that?
Which one was left?
The one that was left.
Yeah.
Let's see if you have to pull it though.
If I have to pull it,
can you imagine?
Do you really? I have to say it.
Yes.
You have to say. Let me remind you of what the answers are.
God damn.
No.
No, he has to. I can ask. I can ask him to remind me.
I think it's fair to. I already gave her the point because, I thought it was just too impossibly easy.
Kangaroo court.
Corey and I are demanding to hear Caitlin say the answer.
Yeah, the options
honestly. I didn't know that there was more than one carrion.
It's the last name that begins with H, or the last name begins with F, or neither were the options. And then,
I believe Corey and Joe is the last one, right?
There you go. You
got it. Now it's legitimate. Now it's legitimate.
Justice was served. Justice is a process, not a result.
All right.
You understand?
I'm sorry.
No. Don't apologize. You got it right.
You did it. You're fine. You absolutely did the right thing.
I can't see your faces. I can't tell if you're serious or not. I'm still thinking about my
we're
fentanyl
real serious.
Joke.
Oh, not unlike
I feel
the movie. Movie I recommended. I am turning red.
I'm turning bright red.
We've all not stopped frowning since your mean joke about a boy you never even you're not even familiar with. Brigitte Nielsen was the star of She's Too Tall.
Actually,
she's super tall. And I guess Corey Feldman was like, somebody trying to help her find a man or something.
He was there for scale.
He was. That's probably what he got paid as well. But he this was around 1998, I think. But
Christ.
Way later than I would have thought.
Yeah,
I don't
too.
Remember seeing
for both
one.
Of them.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
She's too tall. They're too late.
Corey's up first. Corey gets to go first on this next one. Haim Feldman or neither. My Life as a Troll.
My Life as a Troll.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God damn it.
You haven't done neither in a while.
Is your hand in a vice and you're making it tighter? Or
no, I was putting my hands were literally over my face.
Yourself.
Because this game is so goddamn stupid, but I'm still competitive and I need to win. I'm going to go with neither.
You're saying neither Feldman or Haim is in My Life as a Troll?
Yes, because again, I'm defaulting to you're making shit up.
That's incorrect. It's a real movie. So Joe, which one do you think it is, Feldman or Haim?
This sounds like a Haim joint. God damn it.
Oh my god. Caitlin, do you remember which one?
It's Feldman.
Jesus Christ.
Caitlin did it. You win. You won a likely Corey. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. This is thrilling.
Oh, my God. I had such fun titles left to go to.
To recap, there were no Haims in that round, correct?
Yeah, no Haims ever. I didn't write down a single Haim movie because, I thought there's going to be enough dark humor as it is.
Yeah. Oh no!
The less his name came up in the answers, probably the better.
I see.
I also made up another one. The next one was going to be I made up a movie called Chimp Fever.
Lord. I got that.
And then Feldman made a real movie in 2009. I don't know what it is, but it sounds so made up. It's called Lucky Fritz. And he doesn't play Fritz. Oh, he does. He's the title character. But then he made another movie, I think in India or something, where he's not the title character, and it's called Operation Belvis Bash.
Belvis?
Like, wow. Elvis with a B. So it sounds like
Bollywood Elvis.
He goes to India and teaches some guy how to impersonate Elvis, but they call him Belvis. That's my guess of what this story is. I don't know for sure. But anyway, congrats again to Caitlin. What did you win? Well, you're going to find out after the break. We'll be right back.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are back, and Caitlin won our first game. It's so exciting to have you, help me out by appearing on this show and your very first appearance for that kind of result.
I'm thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled. I've been following Feldman's career for years, and
just for this opportunity.
It's finally paid off.
Yeah. It would have been even harder, I think, for everybody. I was contemplating making it Corey Feldman, Corey Haim, or Marty Feldman.
I would have dominated.
That would have been really rough. Okay, so Caitlin won our first game. So that
me and Joe suck.
That's there's no other way to describe it. Yeah.
So I'm finishing my sentence. That's what I was going to say. No, Caitlin, what you won is just the opportunity to go first in our next and final deciding game of the day. But there is a little bonus. If this one ends up in a tiebreaker, you also get to go first to break the tie. So you get a little bit of an advantage. And the game, I know Joe hasn't played it, but maybe Corey has. It's a game called Weird Algorithm.
Sure have.
You love it.
I love it.
I give everybody the title of a movie, and I'll tell you who is listed by IMDb as the top two starring people in the film. But IMDb has this awesome feature. I mean, depending on if you're an actor or not, I guess, it has this awesome feature where you could take the cast list and refine it and click on it and change it to they're ranked in order of their current popularity according to the IMDb pop star meter algorithm. So, you know, just because somebody's a big star doesn't necessarily mean that they're the most popular person on IMDb in this moment. So okay. I'll tell you the name of a movie. I'll tell you, you know, two people who are in it. But then if you can think of anybody else who's in it who you think might rank higher, if your guess is somebody that's the number one billed person, you get 3 points. If you get the second billed person by popularity, you get 2 points. And third is worth 1 point. Every other name is not worth any points. And also, you'll have a chance to not only change your answer, but you can also agree with the other players, you know, and take that risk of getting the same amount of points as somebody else. There ends up being a little bit of a strategy to it, as Corey can tell you.
Indeed.
So we'll start with Caitlin, then we'll go to Joe, then we'll go to Corey, and each person gets a chance to go first. And like I said, if there's a tie, then Caitlin will get to go first in the tiebreaker. Caitlin, the first movie is a little motion picture by that guy that did that little Oppenheimer movie. But this one is Inception, starring Leo DiCaprio and JGL, a.k.a. Joseph Gordon. Leave it alone. Leave it be.
Leave it be.
That's not a clue. All right. So no. Either those two gentlemen or one of your own that you think of, who do you think would be top billed in Inception?
Well,
according to today's standards.
Oh, God. I'm trying to think of who's in that movie. I know the guy with the weird face that's also in Oppenheimer is in that movie. I can't remember his name.
Oh, Weird Face McGee?
Yeah.
You know, it's something Irish. It's something Irish.
It's something Murphy.
Yes. If this was like a real game show, I'd have to accept Murphy, I guess. So,
oh,
yes.
Really? Okay. Except
yeah,
Murphy.
Killian Murphy is the gentleman's name.
Oh, okay. I would say him then because he's in the Oscar race, right?
He sure is. He's racing it up right now.
He's pretty racy,
just
but
won
then...
You won a whatchamacallit the other night, a SAG award.
He won a thingy-mabob?
Mm-hmm. He won a mantelpiece piece. Okay, so you go, and I'll come back to you. You can have a chance to change it based on what you hear from the other players. Joe, who are you thinking would be currently the number one?
Yeah, I think I don't remember Cillian Murphy being in Inception, but I want to take Caitlin's word for it because I do think he would be quite high because of Oppenheimer.
He's got that weird face.
He does have a weird face. That's true. I didn't think
he's in every
Nolan
Christopher Nolan movie. I think
he's the
I'm not positive, but I think he is
the dude that they have to go three levels into his brain because his dad's got the energy company.
Yes, of course. he's always playing that role.
That's why I didn't remember him, because they're in his brain,
right? I'm actually gonna agree with Caitlin. I think, you know, he's poised to win an Oscar or at least be the lead actor in a movie that wins Best Picture. So I'm gonna agree.
Okay.
I'm
now
not
we come
gonna,
to Corey.
I'm not gonna hit on a 16 here. I'm just gonna agree as well, because I think that's gotta be it.
You think Cillian Murphy's got to be number one
because
of all this attention he's been getting lately?
And if he's not, I can't name the other one, so I'd be stupid to try. So I'm going to agree.
All right. So everybody thinks that Cillian Murphy would be ranked higher in a popularity poll than Leonardo DiCaprio or Joseph Gordon-Levitt or any of the other losers that are in Inception.
I think that he would be higher than Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I don't know about Leonardo DiCaprio, though.
Do you want to change your answer, Caitlin, or are you sticking with Cillian?
I'm gonna go against the grain and go Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay, last minute switch up. Let's go to Joe again. Where do you stand? Are you sticking with Cillian?
I'm sticking with Cillian, yeah.
Despite that face.
And I'm kicking with Cillian.
Oh, poor Cillian. He's been called Cillian probably as many times as Cillian in his life, you know what I mean? Because there's too many people just look at it and just go. What do you think, Sori?
I'm sticking as well. I'm sticking as well with Mr. Murphy. Old silly face McGee.
He looks so it's so harsh.
My wife wants him more than any other human being on earth. So I guess lucky
beautiful.
For me.
Yeah,
I think he was. Yeah, he's very male model-y, but I also feel like it's funny that he's so popular right now, because I thought he was really, you know, for my straight male gaze, he was pretty good looking in that movie. Remember Red Eye?
Oh yeah, and Peaky Blinders, dude. That's when my wife really got, you know, boy, she. I'm telling you.
That brought on the flood.
We had to reupholster the couch twice, buddy, between seasons.
He also makes a good looking woman in Breakfast on Pluto.
Well, hello.
Well, you know what?
He can do it all.
I'm going to do this the suspenseful way. I'm going to tell you who came in third, and that is Elliot Page.
Mm.
Sure. Of course, you know, we're not going to use the dead name that Elliot used back then, mm-hmm. but Elliot Page was third top popular, which is nice to see. Number two is, in fact, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, dang it.
Congratulations. Here we go.
Caitlin, you get 2 points for that. But you probably also sense the bad news that's coming.
Yes, I got the bad news. Dang it.
Cillian Murphy, number one. So
let's
Corey
go, Joe.
Joe,
we're mounting a comeback, Corey. We are no longer fools. completely.
Still anybody's game. And by anybody, I mean, you know, whittled down to the three people who are participating. There's not anybody else. No one else can run in and get involved. But all right. So, Joe, you're up first on this next one.
Okay.
And again, just, you know, either talk through your thought processes or, you know, keep it to yourself if you think it's going to be too helpful to the other players.
Mm-hmm.
It's a motion picture I enjoy quite a lot. I've seen it a lot of times, and it's called The Social Network. And it stars Jesse Eisenberg and Andrew Garfield as the two men who invented the world's nightmare.
Yes.
We were talking about Oppenheimer a minute ago. Well, which bomb, which detonation is worse, the internet or, you know, the social media and Facebook or the atomic bomb? That's for argument on another show. Joe, what do you think? Mm. Who from that film do you think would be super popular today?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like I just had a conversation with someone who was like, hey, do you remember she was in this movie? And I was like, oh, no, I don't remember that. And I won't be retaining that information for when I'm on a podcast later. Because I think it was someone.
That's amazing.
You know what? I remember it now. It's Dakota Johnson. She is the college student that sleeps with an actor that has not been named, but I'm going to say strategically, I'll keep that out of my mouth, but I'm going to say Dakota Johnson.
Okay. Corey.
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. I was going to say Justin Timberlake.
That is who I wasn't saying strategically. Yeah.
Is that your answer, Corey? Or you just
that is my answer. Yes.
Okay. And Caitlin, what do you think? Have you seen The Social Network?
I saw it a long time ago, and I only remember that Justin Timberlake was in it and being like, oh, that was an odd choice. I can't remember. Was Natalie Portman in it?
If not, she should have been.
Yeah, I don't feel confident in that one. So I'm going to go with Justin Timberlake.
You like JT as well.
Yeah, well, I think Dakota is probably more popular right now because of her little spider webby movie. So I'm going to go with Dakota.
I like how you prop up other women by talking about their little spider webby movie.
Their little spider webby movie.
I know you're demeaning it in the way that you would normally demean a movie that's all about men fighting aliens and monsters.
I, for one, have respect for the madame.
I want to see
it. I was disappointed it's not about a superhero brothel. Okay, so has everybody said somebody?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sticking okay, with so Justin Timberlake.
Let's go. Joe, what are you're going to stick with DK Johnson?
Yes, I I am, of course, sticking with Donkey Kong Johnson, yes.
Okay. And Corey, you still like JT?
I do.
All right, bringing sexy back. And Caitlin also is going to cry us a river.
No, I'm going with Dakota.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then Corey's the only one that's going to cry a river.
That's right.
Because Corey, your golden boy, Justin, did not make the top four at all.
Oh, they just announced new NSYNC today. How the fuck is that possible?
That's not a movie. That ain't a movie, bruh.
I know, but it still gets your name trending. God damn it. I thought I had the fucking, man, I was like insider trading shit. I thought I had something. Motherfucker.
No, that was good. It was a good poll. You know, it did seem to make sense. And, you know, he probably is pretty far up there. I didn't write down where he landed, but he's probably like fourth or fifth. Third is a young actor who I couldn't put my finger on exactly why he's hot right now, but he's always, I think he's always good and stuff. His name's Caleb Landry Jones.
Mm.
And he's got a pretty small part in Social Network, but he's in something that's pretty popular right now that I don't watch. I can't remember what show it is. But then number two is a surprise. I mean, a pleasant surprise, because I think she's a terrific actress, but she's just in a couple of scenes in Social Network. Rooney Mara.
Yes, she's in like that beginning scene where they're breaking up.
Yeah. And I don't know what it is she's up to right now that's got people typing her name into IMDb, but you know, she must be in some movie or TV show that's getting a lot of attention currently. And then number one, that was a good call, Dakota Johnson.
Donkey Kong.
Wow.
Yeah, good old Donkey Kong Johnson. That'd be so hard to get that to catch on, calling that woman Donkey Kong.
Yeah, somehow would not stick, I think.
Yeah. But this was her, yeah, she played, she slept with the Napster guy. She did more than take a Napster with him. And it was her first, like, her first sort of, like, quote-unquote adult movie role. She only played one acting role as a kid in one of her mother's movies, Melanie Griffith, and that was called Crazy in Alabama.
Mm. Yeah, done that.
I don't remember how big her, I don't remember how big her role is in that, but there you go. All right, we got one more round. So Corey, you still have a shot at this, but that round did not treat you very well. Joe has 6 points. Caitlin has 5. Corey has 3. But Corey, you get to go first on this third round.
Okay.
Good luck. The film is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay.
Or if you prefer, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah. Because the poster and then other places put the ellipses in different spots. And Quentin Tarantino's total sneaky pants about it. Like, I think he knows that they just did that just to make people go, why?
Man.
Why is that?
What does he mean?
So it stars our friend Leonardo DiCaprio, who you recall earlier was the second most popular person in Inception, and Brad Pitt, who, of course, is a popular man. But could there be somebody else in that very large cast?
So Brad Pitt, they just announced that he's going to be in Tarantino's last film. So I know that bumps him up a little bit, but I feel like it's got to be Margot Robbie because of Barbie and all that. And because it's just Margot Robbie. Pitt. So I'm going to go with Margot Robbie.
Margot Barbie. Okay. Caitlin, what are you thinking? Are you thinking Margot?
I'm thinking Margot Robbie.
Has toppled the patriarchy?
Yeah, I say she's bringing them all down with her little Barbie movie.
You think she's number one?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. In that movie where history's rewritten and people that got murdered live happily ever after.
That's the
I'll
one.
I'll be honest, I haven't seen the movie. So.
What? Yeah. I want it to be Bruce Dern very bad.
Oh man. I just the way Brad Pitt keeps saying his last name, Spawn. Are you Spawn? All right. Really brings out the Southern accent. Okay, so who's left to say somebody?
That's me. So we've got two Margos in a row, two Margos Robbie. And I that was who I thought at first, but I think I want to go against the grain here a little bit because I know there's a young man who's a very hot actor right now who's Dune 2 is about to come out. So I'm gonna say Austin Butler.
God damn it. Tex.
I think it might be Austin Butler. It was tough though. Margot with Barbie and everything, you know, it's hard to bet against her, but yeah, I'm going to just for fun's sake, I'll throw out Mr. Butler.
Okay, well, let's go back to Corey. What are you? Sounds like he really rocked your world with that information.
He did, but I still got to feel like it's got to be Margot. It's got to be Margot.
Okay, Caitlin?
I'm going girl power, Margot Robbie.
All right. I'm going to start with number three. and that is an actress who is a Nepo actress.
Another Marg?
The daughter of Andy McDowell, Margaret Qualley.
Not quite Margot Robbie, but sounds like
I know, yeah, right? You're almost there with Margaret. Must have been some confusion on the set. but yeah, Margaret Qualley, and just for anybody who wants to know, her role in that film is, her character is called Pussycat.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to skip around here a little bit because number one is really interesting and nobody said it.
Oh, no.
Number one,
Lena
really
Dunham.
Taken off because of, no, not Lena Dunham. But one of that, oh, there's just a crowd of women.
Is it Sydney Sweeney?
There's Sydney Sweeney.
Oh,
is the
wow.
One. She's one.
I did not know.
Yeah, she plays a lady named Snake. And everybody in that movie had such fun names. And then, but here is the devastating news for some of you. Margot Robbie finished number 6.
Get the fuck out of here.
The list. Wow. Behind Brad at 5, Leo at 4, and then number 2, you nailed it.
God damn you, Joe.
Freaking Austin Butler.
Wow.
That's a good pull,
great,
buddy.
Great. Wow. Great pull.
Congratulations, Joe.
Thank you.
He is getting raves for his crazy, I guess he's like a, you know, bald villain guy in Dune 2. And people are loving him in it.
He's playing Powder? What's he doing?
Yeah.
He's got Powder. That new Apple TV show too. That's, I watched the first episode and it's very good. It's a Spielberg joint.
Huh.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Masters of the Air.
Masters
like
of
that?
The Air. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. He's still got a little of the Elvis thing going on, but right, it works. It works really good.
Well, he recently, like, apparently he's impressive in Dune because he dropped the Elvis thing. And then I've seen him in the press talking about, yeah, maybe I overdid it a little bit, like acting like Elvis all the time for 3 years.
He had to get a dialect coach to get him to stop talking like Elvis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
I swear he didn't win any awards because every place he showed up, he'd be like, hey, what's going on? Like, everybody'd be like, what? Why do you
hey, mama.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Exactly.
Good to see you.
We're about to get some Golden Globes up in here, baby.
Yeah, so.
They should just reboot Johnny Bravo and have him do a live action.
Well, no, Corey, because he's dropped the accents.
Yeah, get it back.
And he's I'm excited to see him in this Dune 2. I'm excited for something exciting to happen in Dune 2. Like, for instance, Zendaya is actually going to be in it.
Yeah, right.
You know, because part one was like, what? She got pretty good billing for just showing up with a thing in her nose. All right. You know, what was her screen time in Dune 1? Maybe 8 minutes?
Not much. Bautista was the same way. Like, I thought he was going to be a huge star in it, and he wasn't in it for that much.
Yeah, so I mean, it really left you, it didn't leave me wanting more, to be honest, but people who are into it, it really left them, like, you know, dying for more. Like, people were, during the writer strike, that was like the number one thing that people were upset that was getting delayed because of the writer strike.
Right.
That was the number one popular annoying thing to say. But what about Dune 2?
what have they done
about it? All right, Joe. So as winner, can you what are your plans this weekend? Could you join us again Sunday afternoon, perhaps?
Potentially, yeah, I think I could.
All right, I'll put you down for a maybe and leave the listeners in a little bit of suspense, and you get to promote your stuff first. What would you like to promote?
Oh, excellent. So I have a podcast that's all about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and the Rock Hall ballot just dropped. So we're really in the thick of stuff to talk about. So it's called Who Cares About the Rock Hall? Check that out. You can also check out my YouTube stand-up special called Recommended Based on Your Search History, and my album of funny songs and sketches called Funny Songs and Sketches. And you can see all that stuff at Joe Kwa, JoeKWA on Instagram, TikTok, JoeKJK on Twitter.
Awesome. Thanks, Joe. Caitlin Palufo, excellent first appearance. Did you have a good time?
I had a great time. I still would like to apologize to the Corey community about my poorly tasted joke. I didn't know. I'm so sorry.
People have been making really terrible jokes ever since it happened because, you know, when he passed, he was sort of kind of an awkward stage where he's kind of becoming less popular. And so it was quite a punchline. And, you know, of course, it's sad what happened to him. But the first mistake was being a child actor, though, for sure.
Right.
Like that led to the, and, you know, and Corey Feldman's risen up and, you know, he's still out there fighting for child actors, you know, and their rights on sets and stuff. But I said sets, S-T-E-T-S, sets. And, you're not, you know, so good for him is what I say. And he also does a mean Michael Jackson impression. What would you like to promote, Caitlin? What's going on?
Well, I have an album coming out called Dirty Bird on March 8th. It's my first album ever.
Woo.
Please buy it and listen to it. Stream it wherever you want to listen to comedy things. And you can follow me at Caitlin Palufo on Instagram and all the things. And I'm on the road a bunch. Come see me live. That would be great. CaitlinPalufo.com. Thank you.
Yeah, go see Caitlin in person. Go up to her after the show and ask her some dumb movie trivia question.
Please do.
Go say, who starred in License to Drive?
And I'll be like, and I'll just say the guy with the weird face. That's what I would say.
No, again, you're making, it was Corey Haim.
Oh,
the guy you were making fun of. Yeah.
That's a both, right? That's a both.
Yeah, both of them are in it. Both of them and good old Heather Graham, who's still out there doing good work. Who's left? Corey Ryan Forrester.
That's right.
Finally come to an end your reign of terror.
I told you.
Hey, you knew this wasn't your day.
I could just tell, man. Well, hey, I would like to plug, especially for fans of Doug Loves Movies. Y'all love this. On my podcast with Trey Crowder, Putting on Airs this week, we got to have a wonderful conversation with the extraordinary actor Clifton Collins Jr. We talked all about Hollywood and all that good stuff. So get that wherever you get your podcast or watch it at watchpoa.com. And for anyone in the Chattanooga area, March 2nd, that is Saturday. So tomorrow, as you're hearing this, me, aka my alter ego, the Buttercream Dream, will be making his professional wrestling debut at East Hamilton Middle School. You can go to sciwrestling.com. It is for a good cause. The school's building burnt down. We're going to raise money for it, but I'm in the Royal Rumble. The Buttercream Dream is. So sciwrestling.com. Get tickets to see me wrestle at East Hamilton Middle School. My career's on the rise, baby.
Amazing.
I mean, have you seen Iron Claw?
Yeah, yes, I have.
All right. I'm just warning you. It's a dangerous thing to get into.
Well, hey, listen, Jeff Jarrett hit me in the head as hard as he could with a guitar. So, you know, I've had a couple things.
an honor.
A very big honor.
Yeah, there you go. Well, thank you, Corey. I'm going to be this weekend performing four shows at the Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club at the Link in Las Vegas with our good friend Jeff Tate. DougLovesMovies.com is where you can get tickets and links for that and all my things that I got coming up. I'm coming to Chicago, Rosemont, which of course is O'Hare adjacent. And those are in May and a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of stuff on my the website. So check it out and see if I'm coming to a town near you. Thanks again to Caitlin Palufo, Corey Ryan Forrester, and Joe Quazala. And I end every episode with the last line of a motion picture. Today is no exception. As always, one thing about living in Santa Carla I never could stomach was all the damn vampires.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves.